Today, Shir Zemesecht above a Kama on Daf Hey. We will begin on Daf Dalet Amid Beis, 11 lines from the bottom of the Amid, with the second word, Tani Rabchia. We have learned before that our Mishnah, the Tan of our Mishnah, has Arba Avos Nezikin. We learned in yesterday's Shir a Brisa of Tani Rav Oishia that there were actually Shloisha Aser Avos Nezikin. There were 13 main categories of Nezikin. And in today's shir, we are going to learn the Brice of Rav Chiya, who counts 24 Avos Nezikin. Begins the Gemara, Tani Rav Chiya. Rav Chiya learned in a Brice, Esrim Varbo Avos Nezikin, that there are actually 24 main categories of Nezikin. And they are, by and large, written in the Torah. Once they are written in the Torah, that makes them into an Av of Nezikin. What are these 24? Says Rav Chiya, Tashlumei Kefel, as Rashi brings down on the first wide line, the Pasuk says, Imi Matzi Timatzi Bi Yodai HaGneva, if the Gneva is found in his hand, he has to pay double, and that makes it an Av of Nezikin. V'Tashlumei Arbo V'Chamisha, and the payments of 4 and 5, as Rashi tells us, when someone steals, but not only does he steal, but he actually shechts the animal and or sells it, and he pays 4 by a seh, if it's done to a sheep, and he pays 5 times the original value when it is done to a cow. The ganav, the gazlan. Ganav, Rashi explains, that here we are speaking about where he is paying on his own. There are not Edim who are saying that he stole, but rather he admits it. And in such an instance, he does not pay kefil, he only pays keren. As Rashi brings down, it's speaking about a case where hoidu ma'atzmai, and we have a rule that moida b'knas potter. The pasuk says, asher yashin Elohim, yishalom shnayim, that when does he pay double kefil for an act of gneva? That's if Bezdin finds him guilty. And then he's paying the actual geneva plus punitive payments, a knas of kefil. However, we learn out our sheri yashin alihim prat lamarshias atzmoi. The Gemara further merubah of samach dalamid beis tells us that this excludes someone who finds himself guilty and is moide that he has committed the crime, then he does not pay kefil. So ganav is here is referring to the initial payment of the keren of geneva, the gazlan. Someone who does not come as a ganav does, hidden and stealthily in the night and steals, but rather he steals in open daylight, that's a gazlan. So there is never any halacha of kefil. There's only halacha that he pays keren, as Rashi brings the pasuk, v'heishev esagzela asher gazal. And then we have Edim Zaymimin, that if Reuven and Shimon came together to Bezdin, and they said that Levi borrowed money from Yehuda, we are Edim that he made a halvo in front of us, and Levi owes Yehuda money, and then Yisachar and Zvulun come along and say, how could Reuven and Shimon be Edim to this loan at a certain date, at a certain time, when at that date and time they were hundreds of miles away together with us? So Reuven and Shimon are Edim Zaymimin. And they have to pay for their false testimony, which would have made Levi pay money that he really didn't owe to Yehuda. And there's an interesting machlokes rishonim here. We find one sheet brought down in the second last Tosfos on the Yom Divrei Maskil ve'edim zoymimin, pirush rava da'filu shilem al piyo edim zoymimin chayavim. And what Tosfos is referring to is we know that the halacha of hazama is only when Reuven and Shimon plan to do something to Levi. For example, if Reuven and Shimon said that Levi killed Yehuda, and therefore Levi is chayv misa. So if Levi was not killed as a result of the testimony of Reuven and Shimon, then Reuven and Shimon are chayv misa. However, if Levi is actually killed, we have a rule that kasher zomam v'loy kasher asa, that they are chayiv a punishment, Reuven and Shimon, only if they plan to do something to Levi by their false testimony. But if it actually happened, kasher asa, if it took place, then Reuven and Shimon do not receive the death sentence. The Ramban in Chumash explains that the reason for this is that Elikim Nitzav Badas Eil, that Hashem is always found in a Bezdin, and if Levi would not be Chayiv Misa, Hashem would have made sure that Levi would not have been brought Lemisa. If Levi, based on the testimony of Reuven and Shimon, was brought Lemisa, it means that there was a Chayiv Misa on Levi because of some other incident, and therefore the whole din of Adim Zomim Kasher Zomim does not apply once it becomes Kasher Asa, that their testimony actually affected that Bezdin took the life of Levi. Then we know that it was something that Hashem helped to bring about, and therefore there is no din of Hazama. So the Ravah says that even in the case of money, where they paid based on the Adam Zoymimin, there still would be a din that the Adam Zoymimin would have to pay Levi what they planned to cause him damage by making him pay Yehuda something that he did not owe to Yehuda. Continues Tosis, "Delei shayach b'momen kasher zaman v'loy kasher asa de'efshir b'chazara." If Levi is killed based on the testimony of Reuven and Shimon, then there is no din of Adam Zoymimin. If Reuven and Shimon caused that Levi should receive Malkus, something happened to him physically, kasher zomim v'loy kasher asa. But when it comes to money, which is efshir b'chazara, Bezdin can dictate that the money should be returned. That which Levi gave to Yehuda, based on the false testimony of Reuven and Shimon, should be returned from Yehuda to Levi. So therefore, it always remains in the category of kasher zomim. It's not kasher asa by money. It's something that you can undo. And that's why Tosfos says, even if the Levi had actually paid the money to Yehuda, there would still be a din of Hazama against the Edom. The Stipler, in his Sefer Kehillas Yaakov, brings in the Muki Yosef and Bava Basra, in the name of the Ritva, and he argues on Tosfos, and his Shita is, that just like we have Kasher Zomim V'loy Kasher Asa by Misa, so too by Mammon, it will be the same halacha, that once Levi paid out the money to Yehuda based on the false testimony of the Edom Zoymimim, there would not be a din of Hazomim. The next of the Avos and Zikin according to Rab Chiya are V'ho'ines V'amefate U'moitzi Shemra. Ho'ines is someone who rapes a woman, Hamefate is someone who seduces her, and Moitzi Shemra is when, following the Kiddushin, in the time of the Gemara, in the Mishnah's time, there was a substantial amount of time that went by until the Nisuin. A year could go by between the Kiddushin and the Nisuin. And if, when it came to the Nisuin, and the husband had a Be'ila with his wife, and then he comes to Bezdin and says that he didn't find that she had Besulim. In other words, he says, he hires Edim, and they testify that she was Mezana between the period of Kedushin and Nisuin. And then we found out that these Edim are false Edim, that the Baal had hired them, and they were really saying false testimony. So the halacha is, the Torah tells us that the Baal has to pay Meya Kesef. So on each of these cases, Rashi brings down that these are Nezikin that are written in the Torah. Oynis, it says Chamishim Kesef. Mifata, we have in Shmoy's Perikov base, Kesef Yishkol, Kemoyer Absulis. And Kemoyer Absulim refers the Moyer Absulis of Oynis, that a Mifata pays 50 Yishkolim, just like the Chamishim Kesef, just like by Oynis. And by Moitzi Shemra, there the Torah tells us that Va'on Shuaisoi, Bezdin will mechayiv the husband who said something false about his wife, he will have to pay Meya Kesef. So since each of these are written in the Torah, they're also part of the Avos Nezikin according to Rab Chiya. And then we have three cases which are halachic damages. There's nothing that happens to the actual item, but Reuven does something that causes a halachic loss to Shimon. Vahametame, he takes a sheretz and he touches the grain of Shimon. Vahamedame, or Reuven takes truma and he mixes it together with chulin, and that causes a loss because now Shimon can only sell it to a kohen. And the kohen has to make sure that it doesn't become tameh, because if it becomes tameh, then even a kohen can't eat it. So therefore, tvua, which could have been sold as chulin, that is now being sold as truma because of the truma that's mixed up together with the chulin, that fetches a lower price. So he's causing, because of the halacha, he's causing a damage to Shimon. And finally, vamenasech. He takes, Reuven takes the wine of Shimon and he pours it to the Avodah Zarah. Now Rashi brings up two important points on Vahamenaseh. Rashi says, L'chayra, the Gemara in Gittin Daf Nun Beis Amid Beis asks that why don't we say Amenaseh, that it should become Le Bidurabimineh. We know that whenever there are two punishments that a person receives, and one is a harder punishment, one is a easier punishment, there's a halacha that he is only guilty and receives the harder punishment, and he's absolved of the lower punishment. So here, where he's going to receive misa for being over the Avodah Zarah, for pouring out the wine in front of the Avodah Zarah, why should he be chayiv nezek of damages, monetary damages, because he caused a halachic damage to his friend's wine, that it's Osir Banoah, he cannot have any pleasure from this wine since it was poured out to the Avodah Zarah. Why don't we say the din of Kam Le B'Rabba Minei? On this, the Gemara in Gittin answers that they don't come B'Idna. There's a halacha in Kam Le B'Rabba Minei that both Oinshim have to come at the same time. But here, he's chayiv already for damaging his friend's wine when he thinks that he wants to go ahead and pour out the wine to the Avodah Zarah. When is he chayiv misa? He's chayiv misa when he actually is oved avodah zarah, when he actually pours it out. So it's not coming at the same time, and therefore we would not say kam le b'rabbanei. He would be chayiv misa, and he would be chayiv mamon for damaging his friend's wine. Rashi also points out that the case of menasech is not that he took his friend's kosher wine and poured and mixed into the kosher wine other yayin that was yayin nesach, because that would not cause any damage to his friend's wine, because he could sell the wine that is now a mixture between kosher wine and the yayin nesach wine. He could sell it to a goy, and all he would subtract is the value of the non-kosher wine, and he would only sell the goy the cost of the kosher wine. So he's not having any benefit from the non-kosher wine, and he would sell the entire mixture for the price of the kosher wine. He wouldn't lose anything. So that could not be the case. The case must be that he took his friend's kosher wine and poured it in front of the Avodah Zarah, making it into Yayin Nesach. So we have here 11, Avos Nezikin, Vahani Tleisar, and the 13 that were mentioned before in the Brisa on this Amud, Tani Rabbi Oyeshe Shloisha Asar Avos Nezikin, 11 and 13 together, Ho'asim Rabbi Oyeshe, you have 24. Asking more Akashiv, Rabbi Oyeshe Matam Aloy Tani Hani, why didn't Rabbi Oyeshe learn the 11 of Rabbi Chiya? The Gemara answers, B'memayna Kamayri, B'knasa Lai Kamayri. Because Rabbi Oyeshe is only speaking about Avos Nezikin that are compensatory damages, where you're paying for the actual hezek. But those payments which are knasa, which are punitive damages, on that he's not speaking. And the Gemara is saying that the 11 cases of Avos Nezikin and Rav Chiya are knas, punitive. That Rav Oshia was not reckoning with. Ask the Gemara, let's analyze the 11. Let's see if they're all knas. Ganav the Gazlan. Ganav, as we mentioned before, is speaking about Moide B'Knas Potter, that he admitted on his own that he was a Ganav. In that case, he doesn't pay Kefil. All he pays Karen. Gazlan never pays Kefil. He always pays Karen. So that is the Mamaynahu. That's not punitive. That's compensatory. He's paying for what he damaged. So listen, let Rav Oishia learn, besides his 13, these additional two of Gana V'Gazlan. So the Gemara answers, Haktani Lei, Rav Oishia did list Gana V'Gazlan. Where did Rav Oishia list Gana V'Gazlan amongst his 13? Because he listed Shomer Chinam V'Ashoyel. And Allah is by a Shomer Chinam, if he is Toyin Tanis Ganav, or Toyin Tanis Gazlan, he says that someone stole it from me at night, a Ganav, or someone stole it from me in broad daylight, a Gazlan, and then it's found out that it's Tachas Yaday, that actually the Shomer Chinam himself was trying to steal it and keep it. The Allah is that the Shomer Chinam has a din of a Ganav or a Gazlan. Actually, Vahashoyel, that the Gemara quotes here, is not really such a case, because the only time a shomer is chayiv when he claims that it was stolen is if he would get away with that claim. A shomer chinam is not chayiv for gneiva aveda. So therefore, if he says it was stolen, he would get away by claiming such a claim. And now we found out that he didn't, that it was not stolen, but he in fact was keeping it. Then he's chayiv like a ganiv or a gazlan. However, a shoyel, even if it's true that it was stolen, the shoyel is chayiv for geneva and gzela. And therefore, whenever you're chayiv with the time that you're saying, and we find out that it wasn't stolen, but you actually have it, since you would have been chayiv with that taina, you do not have a din of a ganav and a gazlan. So therefore, shoyel is just mentioned because it's part of the group here. But really, the Gemara's main focus is on shomer chinam. So the Gemara is saying that Rav Oishia doesn't have to mention ganav v'gazlan because he already mentioned shomer chinam, which is equal to ganav v'gazlan. Ask the Gemara, if so, we have a question on Rav Chiya. Rav Chiya nami atonah like shomer chinam v'ashoyel. He mentioned shomer chinam v'ashoyel, and it would seem that Rav Oishia is right. Why say the same thing twice? The Gemara answers, Tani memoina dosli yade be'ateruk, Tani memoina dosli yade be'isura. So einachanami, this is a case of mamoin, but the reason why Rav Chiya mentioned it twice, Rav Chiya felt that not only should I mention shomer chinam, which is a case where I receive this item to begin with in a permissible status, and then I was toyin tanis ganav, that's one mamon, but there's another mamon, dasli yada b'isura, where initially I didn't get it beheter. Initially I got a b'isura when I stole it, l'chatchila. So Rav Chiya felt that we should list both types. Rav Oishia felt they're both included in shomer chinam. It's not necessary to mention mamoina dasli yada b'isura. And Rav Chiya felt that even though they're both cases of mamon, we should mention on the one hand shomer chinam when it comes beheter into your hands, and we should also mention ganav where einachanami you're paying back to Karen by moida b'knas potter, you're paying back to Karen and you're only paying mamon, but it's a different type of mamon because it came initially into your hands be'isser. As we turn now to daf hey amid alf, ask the Gemara further, eidim zoymimim dimimoinahu lisni, why doesn't Rav Oishia mention Adam Zayman? Because Adam Zayman is Mammon. Rashi over here gives us a clear definition of what is considered knasa, punitive damages, and what is Mamoina, compensatory damages, says Rashi. The first top Rashi, Divrei Maskil Adam Zayman, the Chola Meshalim Yoyser Amashe Ahizik. Whenever somebody pays more than what he damaged, Kegoin, Kefil, Tashlumi Abram Chamisha, Kori Knas, as we find further in the Tezvav Beis, U Kegoin, Kol Dover Kotzev, Ha'amar Batar, wherever the Torah says something which is always the same, Kegoin Chamishim Shalayin Samefata, Umeya Shamaitzi Shemra, Kul Avi Knasa, Aval Midiach Rinam Amoino, whenever you have to investigate and find out how much the damage was, so that is not Knasa, that is Mamon. But wherever it's a set amount, Meya Kesev, Chamishim Kesev, Ayin Samefata, so that is a Knas. And also, whenever you're paying more than what you damaged, that's also a knas. But Adam Zaymimim, we have to find out exactly how much Reuven and Shimon wanted the Mechayiv Levi. to pay to Yehuda. So that's not a case of Knas. That's a case of Bamaynahu. So why doesn't Rabbi Yishiel learn it? You told me that Rabbi Yishiel learns all things of Mammon. He doesn't learn Knas. Eidim Zayim is Mammon. Rabbi Chiya teaches it to us, and Rabbi Yishiel doesn't. Why not? Answers the Gemara, Savlak Rabbi Kiva. He holds like Rabbi Kiva. The Amar Ein Meshamen Al Piatzman, that Eidim Zayim men do not pay on their own testimony. Rashi gives us the case that let's say Reuven and Shimon came to Bez and they wanted Mechayev Levi to pay monetary obligations to Yehuda, and Yisachar and Zvulun said that you, Reuven and Shimon, are Eidim Zaymimin, and before the Baldin, before Levi could bring Reuven and Shimon to Bezdin and make Reuven and Shimon pay him what they had wanted him to lose and pay to Yehuda, before he could do that, they left the court, they ran away, they went to another Bezdin, and they told the Bezdin, we are being Moidia, the Bezdin, that in this other Bezdin, we were found to be Zoymimim. So that's a case when they are Moda. And Rabbi Kiva Shita is that they do not pay based on their own testimony, so based on their own admission that they were Adam Zoymimim. Eimishama Piatzman. If so, that shows us that Rabbi Kiva considers that since the Eidim Zayimim didn't do actual damage to Levi, it was only based on their testimony that they were saying that Levi owes money to Yehuda, but they didn't actually damage him. It's still considered Knas, and therefore they don't pay because Moed B'Knas is Potter. So that's why Rav Oishia did not learn Eidim Zayimim, because he disagrees. He holds that Eidim Zayimim is not Momen, it's Knas. Ask the Gemara, if you're telling me that Rabbi Oishi holds like Rabbi Kiva, and that's why he didn't list Adam Zayman, I have a different question. Esav, look, Rabbi Kiva, listening Trey Gavni Shor. Then he should list two different types of Shor. Why does he only list one Shor? There should really, according to Rabbi Kiva, be two Avos Nezikin called Shor. What are they? Listening Shor, Dazik Shor. Let him teach us about a Shor that did damage to a Shor. The listening Shor, Dazik Adam. Let him teach us about a Shor that damaged a person. Because according to Rabbi Kiva, they are not the same dinim. This time we learned in a Mishnah further on Daf Lamed Gimel Amid Aleph, and it's also brought down further in the Masechta on Daf Mem Beis Amid Beis, Rabbi Kiva Oimer, Af Tam Shechovel Be'adam Shalom B'Meister Nezik Shalom. If a Tam damages a person, and the case over there is that the person also did damage to the Tam, the ox that was not yet considered a mu'ud. He had not damaged three times, only once. So if the damage of the tam to the person, let us say, was $300, and the damage of the person to the tam was $150, so the difference is $150, Rabbi Kiva says, when a tam damages a person more than the person damaged the tam, Misham b'moiser, that extra, how much does the tam have to pay? Not like a tam usually pays chotzi nezik, half, but rather he has to pay nezik shalom, he'll have to pay the whole difference of the $150. So when it's shor, the azik shor, if the same case would take place, by one shor hitting another, and this shor is a tam, and he damaged the other shor more than the other shor damaged the tam, then in that case, let's say the same thing, the tam is worth 150, the other shor is worth 300, and there's a difference in damage of 150. In that case, the tam would only pay half, which is 75. So we have two different dinim. One din by tam, the azikadim, he has to pay nezik shalom in the moiser, the difference. And by tom that hit another ox, he has to pay chotzi nezik. He'll have to pay 75. So why don't we mention two types of shor? The Gemara answers, Hotavre Rabbi Kiva l'gziza. Rabbi Kiva broke, Rashi says, gziza means the power of his fist. He blunted his power. On the one hand, he's telling me that a tam has to pay like a mu'ud in the case when he hits an adam of nezik shalem, but there's a different halacha where the tam does not have the chumra of a mu'ud. The sanya Rabbi Kiva Omer yachal af tam shechovel b'adam yisham an aliyah, by a mu'ud that damages a person Not only does he have to pay Nezek Shalem, but he also has to pay Menali. Aliyah means that he has to pay even more than the guf of the shore is worth. The owner will have to pay from any assets from the best that he has. He has to make sure to totally pay up the damage that his ox caused. So I would have thought, said Rabbi Akiva, that a Tam should also pay Menali, a Tamad Loimer. That's why the Pasuk says in Shmois Chaf Aleph, Pasuk Lamed Aleph, the Pasuk states, Oyven yigach oyvas yigach, kemishpat hazeh, yei oseh loy, like this judgment should be done to him. So I learn out, yei oseh loy, to it, to the shore, migufo mishalom ven mishalom ben aliyah, that the Tam only pays from his guf. He never pays more than his guf. He does not pay like a mu'ud minu aliyah from the best, from any assets that the owner owns. But rather, he pays only migufoy. So Rashi says, therefore, in many instances, he will never pay nezek shalom. In other words, Rabbi Akiva made a powerful statement with his fist, so to speak, figuratively. He said that b'moyser atam, but he hits an automatic pay nezek shalom. So you had a good question, that then why isn't there two types of shore? A shore tam that hits another shore, and a shore tam that hits an autumn. The answer is that even though he has to pay nezek shalom, very often he won't pay the nezek shalom. Because since the other halachas he has to pay migufoy, let's say the guf of the shore is worth, for argument's sake, 200, and he's supposed to pay the whole nezek shalom of 150, but the difference was between the adam hitting the shore and the shore hitting the adam 150, but he's only worth 200, so there's only another 50 to take from, and it'll come out he won't pay that whole difference because there's nothing to take from. You only pay megufoy. If the master would have to pay min aliyah, so then he would have both chumras, the tam. He would have to pay the whole difference of 150, and he'd have to pay from whatever assets the owner owes. But since that second halacha Rabbi Akiva doesn't hold, Rabbi Akiva holds that the tam never pays outside of gufoy, so since if his guf is limited, then the payment will be limited, and it'll come out he won't pay that nezek shalom. That's the way Rashi learns it. According to Rashi, there's not enough of a reason to make a new category of shor, because very often he may not wind up paying any more than a regular tam would pay chatzi nezek. However, Tosfos has a different shot that we find later. If you look 8 lines from the bottom of the Amud, you will see with the word at the end of the line, kulon ka'avais l'shalom mimeitav. So Tosfos in Divrei HaMaskil, Hatav Rabbi Akiva Legzize, Tosfos quotes this line of the Gemara, that the Gemara is saying that the definition of an av is that he pays mimeitav. So once Rabbi Akiva says that legabi this halacha, even though a tam pays nezek shalom, in the case here of damaging a person, that b'moyser he pays nezek shalom. But since he's only paying migufoy, not aliyah, which means meitav, and the definition of an av is meitav, therefore automatically he cannot be considered as another category of avos nezikin. And that's why even though Rabbi Yishai holds like Rabbi Akiva, he did not list two types of shor. He only listed one type of shor. Continues the Gemara. Why didn't Rabbi Yishai learn? If you tell me Rabbi Yishai holds of mammon, so why didn't he learn? So Tosfos Divrei HaMaskil tells us that Maitzi Shemra is just listed as part of the group. These three go together, but in fact, Maitzi Shemra is never oinus, it's always only knas. It's a punitive damage of Meya Kesev that the Baal has to pay. However, by oinus and mefad, even though they have aspects of knas, because there is the 50 chamishim kesev, which we find in the Torah, but there are other things as well. There's tsar, there's pegam, there's boishes. So that's why the Gemara is focusing in on Oinus HaMefata. There are Mammon aspects of Oinus HaMefata. Why did Rav Aisha not list them? So the Gemara says, Manifsha, I Nezik Tanala. If you're discussing the Nezik part of it, how much that the woman is now worth less because of what she has gone through, So we have learned, one of the obvious nezikin that Rabbi Yishai learned was nezik. The Dikduke Seifrim says that actually we should take out these words because nezik is the same as pagam. And pagam, we are going to, in the next line, discuss pagam. So therefore, the Gemara is redundant if the Gemara is going to be speaking about nezik and pagam. And in fact, the Rishash points out that if you look in Rashi, Divriya Maschel, Horti, Garcin, and Manavshach, Mishumai, Yitzchay, Lemisni, Imishum, Tsar, Tonalei. So the Rishash points out, it seems from Rashi, that Rashi didn't have, as the Duke Seifrim does not have, did not have these four words, Inezik Tonalei. Rashi jumps right away to the next part, which is Itzar Tonalei. So we will go along with Rashi and the Dikduke Seifrim. We will not be goyrus these four words in Ezek Tonilei. So let's start again. Listen, the Gemara asks the Kashya, why don't we learn these three, two at least, Toinus and Mefata. So the Gemara answers, Manavchak, Itzar Tonilei. If you're going to focus on the money that has to be paid for pain, so we learn Tsar. E Boishas, if you want to learn the Boishas of the Oynes HaMefata that he has to pay to the girl Boishes, that was learned also by Rabbi. E Pegam Haina Nezek. Pegam is identical to Nezek. And Nezek, Rabbi did learn. So Ma'ayisach L'meimer Knasa. What's left? The 50 Kesev. So Knasa, like Amari, we already made a rule that Rabbi is not discussing Knasa. So that's why he totally does not bring down Ho'aynes HaMefata. And Moitzi Shemra, there's only a payment of a Knas, of Mea Kesev. So all those three cases are not listed by Rabbi Yishai. Continues the Gemara, Hametam, Vamedam, Vamenasach, the Mamainu, listeni. What about these three cases, which are Mamain? Why didn't Rabbi Yishai learn these three? The Gemara says, Manusha. This is a case, as we mentioned before, these are halachic damages. If you look at the grain, if you look at the wine, we don't see any damage. It's only al pi halacha, since the grain was damaged by the sheretz touching it, or the chulin has truma that's mixed into it, and the menasech, the wine of the Jew was poured in front of the avodah zara. So now it's asur banah. So all these cases, there is a hezek that you cannot see it on the surface. E hezek shein nikar shmei hezek. There's a shiloh whether and something that you can't see that's only a halachic damage, whether that's called a real damage or not. So if hezek shein nikar, that's not recognizable, if that's considered a hezek, hatani le nezek. So if you consider it a nezek, Rabbi Yishai said nezek. E hezek shein nikar lo shmei hezek. If hezek shein nikar is not considered a hezek, havali knasa. So what is it? As the Gemara in Gittinuf and Gimel Amid Aleph tells us, it's only a knas midrabbanan. It's punitive. Why did the Rabbanan make this knas? That people should not go and be mazik each other in this method using a halachic method of causing damage. So the Chachamim made this knas that the person has to pay for this halachic damage. Ubeknasa, like Amari. So again, Rabbi Yishai didn't list it because it's knas, and we're not speaking about knas. So therefore, Rabbi Yishai didn't list it. Now the Gemara says, let's focus for a minute on Rabbi Chiya. Rabbi Chiya did list it. Lay miksav Rabbi Chiya, should we say to Rabbi Chiya holds, hezek shenen nikar lo shmei hezek, that hezek that you cannot see with the physical eye. It's only a halachic damage. It's not recognizable. It's not called hezek. It must be knas. Why? The ishmei hezek. If these three cases are a case of hezek, otonali nezek. So then, in fact, Rav Chi himself learned nezek. And these three are not written in the Torah. We learned before, Rashi pointed out that all the nezikin, the ovis, are written in the Torah. These are not. These are just different types of nezek, which is written in the Torah. So why enumerate these three cases? They're already included in nezek. It must be that Rav Chiya considers them knas. So Gemara answers, no, could be, really they're considered mammon. You're asking me a question, you already learned nezek, why do I have to enumerate these three cases? He has two types of hezek. Tana hezeka de minkara. He lists a hezek that is recognizable. You could see that his car damaged the car of his friend. It's recognizable, the crash. V'tan hezek d'loymen kira. And then he also lists a hezek, which he considers a separate category, where on the surface you cannot tell that there's a hezek done. It's only if you understand what happened that the wine becomes asur b'anah. The grain has to be sold to a kohen at a loss. So he counts two types of hezek. Tosis and divrei hamasech v'tani hezek d'loymen kira asks, why do you need three cases? Just say metamed. That's an example. So Taisa says that since we find in Gittin, Daf Nun Beis Amud Beis, that these three are mentioned as a set, and the Gemara there explains that each one is, there is a chiyuv for each one. So therefore, again, when Rab Chiya listed a hezek shana nikar, he, even though it's mammon, and even though it's nezek that was already listed, but he wanted to give the whole set as part of the avos nezikin. Ask the Gemara, Bishlam l'tan dan, according to our Tanavar Mishnah, Daf Beis Amud Aleph, the Arbavos Nezikin, so Tana Minyana, Limute, Durabaisha. In other words, we have a rule that whenever a minyan, a number is listed, it means only these to exclude others. So the Tanavar Mishnah is very good. He said four. What does he want of Mimamai? Durabaisha. He's not learning the four of Rabaisha. He's only learning the ones that are listed in our Mishnah. Durabaisha. Tana Minyana Lebuti Rab Chiya. Rabbi Yishe learned the minyan of 13 to Mamayat, the 24, the extra 11 of Rab Chiya. Ela Minyana de Rab Chiya Lemute Mayat. What is the minyan of 24 of Rab Chiya coming to Mamayat? The more answers, Lemute Moisir Mefagel. This comes to Mamayat Moisir. When a person gives over the money of his friend, his Jewish friend, to the authorities, he says Lashon Hara about him to the authorities, and as a result, they confiscate his money. That is not listed as one of the avos nezikin u'mefagel. Rashi says, what's the case of mefagel? Where a kohen shechted the korban of a Yisrael that was supposed to be a chatas, and he had kavana l'shem shlomim. So then the Yisrael was not yoitza with this korban, and he's going to have to bring another one. So that is a damage. And that damage is not listed as part of the 24 of Rab Chiya. He's memayit moiser mefagel. Now the Chorinim question Rashi that this is not the normal case of mefagel. The normal case of mefagel is where one of the four main avodos are done in a korban, where the kohen is thinking chutz l'makaymai or chutz l'zmanai, that is going to eat the korban, for example, not in its right time. Why does Rashi give this example of a chatas that a kohen shechted l'shem shlomim? So the various terutzim in the Meforshim, the mitzvah eisen gives a teretz that actually Rashi means that when he says a chatas l'shem shlomim, he means that a chatas is only eaten yom v'laylo. A shlomim is eaten 2 days and a night in between. So he had kavana, instead of the regular time, he had the kavana of the shlomim, extending the time in which one is permitted to eat the korban. That's actually what Rashi does mean. The Gemara asks v'lisni, why in fact does Rab Chiya not count moisir mefagel? So the Gemara says, I understand mefagel why he doesn't count. Bishlam mefagel b'kotchim loy kamari. He's not listing mefagel Rab Chiya because he's not speaking about kotchim. Why didn't Rab Chiya learn when someone damages his friend's property by speaking bad about him and informing the authorities? The Gemara answers, Shiny Moisir the Dibura. How does he do this with his mouth? Uba Dibura like a Mairi. Rab Chiya is speaking about an action, Hezek with an action. He's not speaking about a Hezek that's done through Dibur Ba'almo. So here, there's a very important point where the simple pshat in our Gemara is that dibur, damaging through one's mouth, is a hezek, but it's not counted as one of the 24 of his nezikin. Because Rab Chiya was only speaking about damage to a mice and not damage to a dibur. But damage to a dibur, it would seem from our Gemara, is considered damage. In fact, there is a beautiful shir that Harav Shalom Kamenetsky, Shlita Rosh Yeshiva in Yeshiva Philadelphia, has recently given on the new CD series Archives of Ethics, which are Shiurei Choshen Mishpat al Piseder Adaf, which was put out by the Beis Havad Linyani Mishpat, in Lakewood. This CD is available as a supplement to the Daf Yomi, and it has on each Daf in Masechta Bava Kama a Chosh Mishpat Shaila that has direct bearing on that day's Daf. If anybody would want more information, they can call 888-485-VOD or 888-485-8223, and they will get details on being able to purchase this extra special supplement to the daily Daf. On this shir that Rav Shom Kamenetsky gives here on Daf Hey, he speaks about the stipler in his Sefer Kilas Yaakov that discusses, once the Gemara is opening up this concept that Hezek is possible through a Dibur, what about Inyonim Seguliyim, Hezek Seguliyim, in other words, Hezek that comes through the supernatural. For example, somebody will be Mazik his friend through Tfilah, through Klolo, a curse, through an eye in Hora, he's not even saying anything, through an evil eye, through Kishuv, black magic, through Shemus of Hashem, using Hashem's names, through Shadim, through Lechisha, incantation. What in all of these inyanim seguliyim, supernatural methods, is it possible that there is a halach of hezek, or if somebody, God forbid, would kill using these methods, would he be chayiv misa? So actually there's a machlokas between the stipler and goyin echad that he quotes, and the stipler holds yes, that he would be chayiv misa, or he would be chayiv hezek, for using these supernatural methods, and this other goyin says no. I admit, says the other goyin, that it's usur, one should not do this, but that he would have a chiv misa, or he would have a chiv to pay for the hezek, that he disagrees, and there's a shakl v'tarya back and forth, a very fascinating shir given by Rav Shalom Kamenetsky Shlita. Continues the Gemara, what are you telling me that Rav Chiya doesn't mention any hezek that's done through a dibur? Va maitzi shemra, the dibur hu'tani, maitzi shemra, when the husband says that he didn't find psulim by his wife, it does mention, and that is all to do with dibur. The Gemara answers, dibur is be maisu, that's a dibur that has a maisa. Rashi says, what is the maisa? The maisa is Be'ila. Tosfos quotes the Gemara in Ksubas Daf Memvav Amud Aleph that Rav Lozer ben Yaakov says what Rashi says, Lo Nemru Dvar Malalu El Kishabal, when the husband had Bila with his wife and he didn't find any psulim, so there's a Maisa. Rav Yehuda says there's a different Maisa. He has to hire the false Edim, so that's also a Maisa. So therefore, Rav Chiya did mention Maitzi Shemra, but he does not mention Mesira. As the Gemara of Edim Zoymim, Dibur, the Lesper Maisu Tani, Edim Zoymimim, is a Dibur testimony. There is no action. And Rav Chiya mentions it. The Gemara answers, Hasam Afagav, the Lesper Maisa, even though there is no action, Rachmana Kari Maisa, the Torah does call it a Maisa, that's Siv, Vasisem Loi, Kasher Zomim, Lasseis Lachav, like he planned to do to his brother. And therefore, Rav Chiya is correct in counting it as something of action that could be listed in the 24 Avos Nezikin. The Achrayim ask that this is contrary to a Gemara in Makkos, the Beis HaMeveis, where the Gemara says that Edim Zoymim is considered Lav She'ein Boy Maisa. There are various terutzim in the Achrayim. The Netziv answers that our Gemara considers it a Maisa. It's speaking about where, in our example that we gave before, based on the false testimony of Reuven and Shimon to Edim Zoymim, Levi paid the money to Yehuda. He did a Maisa. The Gemara in Makkos that says Lav Shein B'Maisa, that's when speaking at the Hazama level. Levi has not done any action based on the testimony of Reuven and Shimon. Then Hazama is considered a Lav Shein B'Maisa. Continues the Gemara. Bishlam Tana did not according to our Tana Tana Avis Michal Dika Toldos. It says there's Avis, so Avis indicates that there are Toldos. There are sons, children, there are toldos that come out of those main categories, subunits. Ella the Rav Chiya of Rabbi Ishiya, according to Rav Chiya of Rabbi Ishiya, obviously Michal Dika toldos, as Rashi points out, in our Mishnah, we know what the toldos are. for example, by Shen, there's by Karen, rather, the told of Karen is Nagifa pushing or Nashicha biting. By Shen, there's rubbing, the cow rubs itself on a wall for its pleasure. So those are told of Shen. That's a told of Shen. So the mission is fine. But according to Rav Oshia and Rav Chia, what are the toldos? There doesn't seem to be any toldos from these various avos. Toldos say in my niyu, answers the Gemara, Am Rav Avua, kulon ka'avis l'shami meita. This is the line we quoted before from Tosfos. The definition of avos is not necessarily that it has toldos coming out of it, but rather it's considered a main category of nezek because it has that halacha of meita. And that's why Tosfos says before that according to Rav Akiva, even though a tam hitting an adam would pay nezek shalom, but he pays only megufo, and therefore he cannot be listed as an av. My time, asked the Gemara, what is the reason that, in fact, these avos all have to pay mimeta from superior land, Asiya, Tachas, Nesina, Yishalem, Kesev? And what the Gemara is saying here, the way Rashi explains, that by all of the 24 avos nezikin that Rav Chiya lists, one of these four key words that are associated with paying meitav are included in the psukim concerning those 24 avos nezikin. And Rashi explains as follows. The word tachas we find by shor hamuad, shor tachas hashor. And shor hamuad, Rashi says, is learned out from Shen and Regel, where the pasuk says, ubir b'stei acher, meitav sadeu meitav karma yishalim. So we see the payment of Meitav, and now it is associated with the word Tachas. So any of the Avos Nezikin which will have the word Tachas in their psukim, it will mean, learning out from Shor HaMuad, that one pays with Meitav. Nesina we find by a Shor that was Negeach and Eved, where the pasuk says, Kesev Shloishim Shkolim Yitein Ladoinav. That's Nesina. Any of the Avos Nezikin that have Nesina, it'll be learned from here that Meitav is paid. Yishalem, that's by Shen V'Regel, where it said, Beferish Meitav Sodeu U'Meitav Karma Yishalem. And finally, the fourth key word, Kesev, that's found by Bor, where it says, Kesev Yoshiv Labalov. So any of the 24 which will have these one of these four key words, it will mean that they pay with Meitav. So Rashi goes on to say that the Dalit Avos of our Mishnah are learned from Shen V'Regel. How they're learned from Shen V'Regel, Rashi doesn't say. The Rishash says that the way they're learned from Shen V'Regel is that by all of them it uses the word Yishalim. Shor, it says, Shalom Yishalom Shor Tachas Ashor. Bor, it says, Bala Bor Yishalom. Mave, it's Makabem Yishalmena. And Hever is Shalom Yishalom Hamaver Sabeira. So that's how all four Avos Nezikin of our Mishnah are learnt out from Shen V'Regel. The fifth one is Shomer Chinam. And there it says, Asher Yeshian Elihim Yishalim. There we have the key word Yishalim, which is associated with Meitav. Shoyel, it says, Baal of Einimoy, Shalim, Yishalim. Noisei Socher, it says, Im Ganav Yiganav Meimoy, Yishalim. A Soicher, it doesn't say Beferish in the Torah, says Rashi, but a Soicher has a din of a Shomer Socher or a Shomer Chinam, and by both Shomer Socher and Shomer Chinam, it uses the word Yishalim. Yishalim is one of the four key words associated with Meitav. Nezek, of where one person damages another person, it says Kain Yenosin Boy, and the Gemara further in Daf Pei Dalet learns Maman Hanitin Miyad Liyad. So there you have Nesina. Tsar, it says Petza Tachas Petza, and we learn out that even though you're paying Nezek, you have to pay Tsar also. It uses the word Tachas. Tachas is one of those four key words. Ripui and Sheves, it says Shifta Yitain Verape Yerape. That's Nesina. The 13th one is Boishas, and here Rashi gives two pshatim. Either we have the word tachas, because by Onis Mefata it says tachas asher ino, and we learned that the nun kesev are paid because of the inui that he caused to the woman. And besides that inui, there's also boisha supagam. Those are separate payments. And the word tachas is used there. Or Rashi says that since by nezek it says petza, tachas petza, that will go on all of the five things referring to nezek, tzar, ripui, sheves, and boishas. Kefal, it says yishalim shnayim, the word yishalim. Dalad vehei, it says chamisha bakar yishalim. Tachas, there you have both yishalim and tachas, both key words. By Karen of Aganev, that's included in Kefal where we already had yishalim. Gezel, it says nesina, v'nasen lasher ashem loy. Adam Zoymimim, now here it doesn't use the word tachas, but Rashi says it's as if it says tachas. Nefesh ben nefesh is as if it said nefesh tachas nefesh. The Rajba disagrees with this, and the Rajba says, Einachami b'Adam Zoymimim, it's not listed one of the four Lashonis, but if the Adam had a plan to be Mechayiv Levi, to pay Yehuda something where Levi would have to pay Meitav, then when the Adam Zoyim have to pay Levi for what they plan to do to him, they too will have to pay B'Meitav. So that's how we know Adam Zoyim, according to the Rajba, pays Meitav. Oynis, it says, V'nasan Laviyan Nara, Chamishim Kesef. Kesef is one of the four key words. Mefat, it says again, Kesef. Kesef Yishko Kamar Psulois. Moitzi Shamra, again, Kesef. Anshoi Soy Mea Kesef. Mitame, Midame, Menasek, which are the 22nd, 23rd, and 24th of the Avos Nezikin. That's Bechlal Nezek. And by Nezek, Rashi says, it says Tachas. Rashi is going according to his second pshat by Boishas that everything is learned. All the five payments are learned from Petza, Tachas, Petza. So Mimela, once it says Tachas by Nezek, that refers to any type of Nezek, which will include Mitame, Midame, Menasek. Continues the Gemara. The Mishnah said an enigmatic statement. Loya rea sharka rea mavet. My comrade asked the Gemara, what is the Mishnah trying to say by this, that one is not like the other? This is what the Mishnah meant to say. Why doesn't it say, let's say, for example, you have maveh and let's say you have shor and maveh, and one is not like the other. So let it say it by one, let it say it by shor, and we'll learn out that just like a shor is a mazik for which the baal is chayiv, the same will be by mavet. So lichtor rachmana chadav etesi rachmenei. That's what the Gemara, the Mishnah means to ask. Chadav amar, and on that the Mishnah is responding that chadav mechadav loy asiyah, that depending according to Rav and Shmuel, whatever the pshat in mavet is, there is something in Mave where you will not be able to learn it out from Shor, and that's why it had to say both Shor and Mave. Then the Mishnah continued and said, V'loi zev ezesh yesh ben ruachayim. Again, the Gemara asked, Mai ka'amar, what is the Mishnah saying as compared to Eish, where is Ein boy ruachayim? So there's a difference between Shor and Mave versus Eish. What is the Mishnah trying to tell us with this? And the Gemara gives a similar answer. This is what the Mishnah meant to say. The Mishnah meant to ask a question. Lichtav Rachmana Tarti. Let it say Shorim Maveh V'Teisei Yidich Minai, when we should learn H from it. Hadar Amar. And on that, the Mishnah is responding to that question. That Chadam Tarti Loyasi. Not only can't you learn one from the other, but you can't even learn one from two. Rashi tells us, how we would have learned one from two. What was the Havamina? That if you have, for example, Shor and Mave, we'll learn, and Shor, according to the way Rashi's understanding it now, means Karen, even though the Meforshim explained that this is not the Maskon of the Sugya that we learned before, because before we learned that according to Shmuel, Shor is Regel, and according to Rav, Shor is everything connected with a Shor, which is Karen, Shen, and Regel. But Rashi is just taking one example of what Shor could mean and showing what the Gemara meant to ask, that let it say two and we'll learn out Eish from the other two. Let's continue the Rashi inside. Shor umave, v'teisa Eish minai, we'll learn Eish from Shor umave. Dechi pirchus, you'll ask a question, ma'ala keren shekein kavanos lahazik, you cannot learn Mave from Shor, because which is Karen, because Karen has Kavanah to be Mazik, Iklamei Mershen Techir. So then I could tell you Shen does not have Kavanah Lahazik, and yet it's Chayiv. So I could learn out Karen from, I could learn out Eish from Shen. Ma, are you going to ask me, Ma'al Shen Sheish Hanoh Lazek, right? That Shen has Hanoh, which Eish doesn't have. So Karen Yechir, Karen doesn't have Hanoh, and yet it's chayiv. So I could, that was the Gemara's Havim, and we should be able to learn Eish from Eish out of a combination of Karen and Mave. Ularav, Domer, Mave is Adam. What about if Mave means Adam? So here's how I would have learned it out. Teisi Hachi, keep here, because when you'll ask Malo Shorosh Ken Kavanos Lahazik, Timer Be'esh, you'll ask me a question, Shorosh Kavana, and Eish doesn't, how can I learn out Eish from Shor? Adam Yechiach. Shafilu ain't kavanas elazik chayv, even if it has no, he has no kavana, as the Gemara says further. Adam muud ben or ben yosha, whether he's awake or sleeping. I'll ask me a question. Ma'al adam shken chayv bar bat dvorim, except for mazik, there's four other things that adam is chayv in. Nezik tsar ripui shevis and boishes. Those things, four things. So shor yechiach. I'll bring you shor that shor doesn't have those four things, and yet it's chayv also. Hatzad shavish mentioned dark lahazik. What is the common denominator that their derech is to be mazik? Shmuras alech, you have to watch them. And if you don't watch them, you're chayav. Afani avi eish, I'll bring eish also. So that's how I would have a havimina that eish should be learned from shor umave, whether mave means shein or whether mave means autumn. I could learn them out from a combination of shor, which Rashi is saying means karen. I could learn out from karen and shein, or from karen and autumn. I could learn out eish. That's the havimina. But then the Gemara said that the Mishnah is answering no, that chadam et harati loy asi, because karen and Mava are different because they have Ruachayim, and Eish does not have Ruachayim. So therefore, I have to learn Eish also. Continues the Gemara, now that we know, understand what the enigmatic message of the Mishnah is, that the Mishnah is trying to answer these questions. Amar Rava, the Kula, the truth is that if you took any one of the others, Kisha, this Bor, Beinayo, you took Bor, with any one of the others, Asikulu b'me'atzad, you'd be able to learn out all the rest from a b'me'atzad. Levar mikaren, except from Karen. And we'll soon see why you couldn't learn Karen. First, let's understand what does it mean, bore with one of the others. This would mean you could learn out bore, you could learn out all the other case of the Mishnah from bore and regel, or bore and shein, or bore and adam, or bore and eish. You could learn out the rest once you have bor with one of those. The only one you'll not be able to learn is karen. Now, there's a long Rashi here. We don't have time to learn all the cases that Rashi brings down. But let's just learn to begin at least one example. Rashi says, Divrei Maaseh v'chulu kishad es bor minayu asya. It's approximately 10 lines from before it gets wide. Iksiv bor, it would say bor, v'chadam ahanach, and one of the other cases of regel, shen, autumn and eish, together with bor, asya kulo, me'ahu me'idach, from bor and from one of the others, we'd learn out all the rest, but tzad ha'shav. The iksiv bor v'karen, let's take, for example, bor and karen. Asya shen minayu, I'd be able to learn shen from then. Hachi, in this way, ma bor she'en dark le'el chazik, bor does not go to do hazik chayiv. So shen, shedarka le'chazik le'koshkin. So shen, which the derech is to go and be mazik, by eating, the animal will eat property that's not the owner's. Certainly it should be chayiv. You'll ask me a question, ma lebor shekein tchilasi asiyasi oimid le'nezik. But shen, I can't learn out from bor, because bor is made to be mazik, tarer b'shen. Shen is not made to be mazik. A regular ox that's not brought up to be wild is not made to be mazik. So karen yechiach, I'll bring you karen that's also not made to be mazik, and yet it's chayiv. You'll ask me a question, mala karen shken kavanos lazik, karen is kavana lazik. Bor yechiach, that there is no kavana to be mazik. V'chazer adil, go back and forth. Hatzad ha'shavish ben shedark lazik, and it's your money, and you have to watch it, and if it damages your chayiv, so afani avi, shein, so too I will bring shein. So this is an example how shein could be learnt out from bor and karen. And so Rashi goes through all the cases that all the others could be learned from bor and either regel, or bor and shein, or bor and adam, and bor and eish. And then Rashi, approximately 12 lines before it gets wide, at the bottom of this long Rashi says, Avol karen le'asiya. And that's going back to our Gemara. Let's go back to the Gemara. Amar Rava, the kula kishad is bor benayu, asya kula b'me'atzad, levar mikaret. Why? Mishum de ikala mifrach, ma'la kulu, shekemu adam etchilosan. All the others are mu'ud, whereas Karen is not a mu'ud to begin with. Now, Toysus and Divrei Maaseh shekemu adam explains that Karen I won't be able to learn out from all the rest, even from Bor and all the others, because they're Muad to begin with, and Karen is different than all the rest. Therefore, Karen would have to be listed. So Taisa says you cannot explain that Muad Mitchila means that you have to pay Nezek Shalom, and Karen doesn't have to pay Nezek Shalom, because we're speaking here that Karen would not be written. And let's learn out Karen from the rest. And if Karen would not be written, so I wouldn't know that Karen pays only Chotzi Nezek, and I would say in economy, just like the rest pays Nezek Shalom, this also pays Nezek Shalom. That's why Tosis understands that Mu'ud Mitchila means that its darkoi is to be Mazik. That's the rest. All the rest of Mod Mitchila, their derech is to be Mazik. Mashenk and Karen, that it gores Astam Shores, Becheska Shimmer Kaimi. And Taisa says that this is going according to the Man D'Yomer who holds Palganiska Knossa. We have a machloikis further in the Masechta on Daf Tezvav Amud Aleph, a famous machloikis whether Palganiska's Knossa or Palganiska's Memoinet, which means when a tam pays Chatzin Nezek, is the pshat that really a regular ox does not have to be watched for goring, because normally it is by itself, by nature, it is not going to gore. So the Torah, however, the Torah gave a knas that you have to pay chotzi nezek to make sure that the owner is careful and watches it carefully, that it shouldn't become an ox that gores. That's if you hold palganiska knasa. The Man D'Yomer says palganiska memoin is the pshat that really fakert. It is darker lahazik, and it is not becheska shimmer. It's not normally guarded that it will not do damage. We have to suspect that it will do damage by goring. So really, you should have to pay the whole thing if it's mammon. But the Torah had rachmanis and said that the first two times, we're not going to make you pay the whole thing until it becomes a muad, and then you'll pay the whole thing. So these are the two ways of looking at it. So the Gemara says that if I say palganiska knasa, then the pshat is becheska shimmer. So it's not... The owner is not forewarned that he has to make sure to watch it, because it's considered by itself naturally that it's not going to gore. Mashenk and all the other Ovis Nezikin, they are derech to be mazik, and you have to watch out that the animal won't go and eat, that the animal won't break things with its legs, and therefore they are considered mud mitchila. Karen is not mud mitchila. So Karen I would not be able to learn out from all of the rest. Ask the Gemara, Leman D'Yomer, Ada Rabbi Karen Adifa Shekavanas Lahazik. What do you do with the Man D'Yomer, which Tosis identifies to be the Man D'Yomer who holds Palganiska Memoina, that really it doesn't have a shimmer, and really you do have to watch that it doesn't gore, and really you should have to pay the whole thing the first time, except the Torah had Rechmanis on you, and only made you pay half at the beginning. So, according to that Man D'Yomer, Afila Karen Namiyasiya. So then the truth is that we could learn out Karen from Bor and one of the others. We said before, you can't learn out Kara, and that's only if you consider Kara is not considered a muad to begin with. The owner is not forewarned on Karen because it's by nature meshumer. It's guarded by itself from going out and damaging people by negicha with the Karen. But if I hold that palganiska memoina, so then it's not guarded by nature. So then Karen could be learnt out from the rest. You can't say the rest are Mu'ud Mitchil and Karen's not, because according to the Tzman D'Yomer, Adar Rabba, Karen is also Memoina, and it also is incumbent upon you to make sure that you guard right from day one that the ox does not go out and gore. So even Karen could be learnt out. If so, the question is, why don't you learn Bor and one of the others, and I'll be able to learn out all the rest, including Karen, from Bor and one of the others. Why did the Torah have to list all of them? Why do we have to list all of them in the Mishnah? Why do we have to have Arba Avos Hazik? We could learn them all out from Bor and one of the others. And the Gemara is going to answer, because each of the Avos have specific dinim which we want to learn, and that we will learn Mirchem in tomorrow's shir. There is a fundamental machlokes here between Rashi and Taisus. Rashi says that this shaila, whether Karen is muad mitchila or not, says Rashi in the last small line, Divrei Masa L'man D'Amar, Lo Yisparu Sheikha, we don't know where this Machlokes is written. Taisa says, this is the Gemara further, on Daf Tezvav, Palganiska Memoinu, Palganiska Knasa. It's saying it in other words, but that's the Machlokes. Is it Mu'ud Mitchala? Is it something that's not Shomer by nature? Or do we say it's something that's not Mu'ud Mitchala because it is Shomer? That's the Machlokes, Palganiska Memoinu, Palganiska Knasa. Rashi points out in that long Rashi that why does the Gemara say Bor and one of the others? Why don't we say any two? Why is Bor chosen out? So he says if you would take any other two, there would always be two that could not be learned out. One is Karen and one is Bor. Karen could not be learned out because the rest are Mu'ud B'tchila, and Bor could not be learnt out because it's not Darkoi Leilech Elahazik. That's why the Gemara took Bor and one of the others. Finally, Rashi asks, since Bor we find is an exception, and Karen we find is an exception, why don't we learn everything from Karen and one of the others? And Rashi answers, similar to what we just said before, that Karen and one of the others, you would still wind up with two that could not be learned. Rashi says, for example, if you took Regel, Shen, and Adam with Karen, you couldn't learn Eish from it. But you also couldn't learn out Bor. And the reason is that all the rest have Ruach Chaim, and Eish and Bor do not have Ruach Chaim. So that's why the Gemara had to say, you must use as a Malamed in the pair that is going to be Malamed, in the Bameh Matsinu to all the rest, in the Bameh Atzad, you're going to have to use Bor in one of the others. If you're going to use Karen in one of the others, or you're going to use any two of the others, you're going to always wind up with two that will not be able to be learned. That's why the Gemara wanted to use Bedafke Bor in one of the others, and we have to now find out, since it is possible to learn all the rest from Bor in one of the others, and even Karen, according to the Man D'Amar, that Palganiska Memoina, you could even learn out Karen, why in fact do we list all of the Ovis? The answer to that question we will see B'siyata Dishmai in tomorrow's Shir.